Today is Friday, April 5th, 2024, and you are listening to the World Socialist website. The U.S.-Israeli Murder of World Central Kitchen Aid Workers by Andre Damon. On Monday night, the Israel Defense Forces killed seven international aid workers from World Central Kitchen in Gaza in a series of three airstrikes on their vehicle convoy. The aid workers were citizens of the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, Poland, and Palestine. The attacks used precision airborne munitions that directly targeted the roofs of the vehicles, which displayed large logos clearly identifying their occupants as humanitarian workers. Spokesmen for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and U.S. President Joe Biden claimed, absurdly, that the three airstrikes were the result of a mistake and, quote, misidentification, end quote. These claims, echoed in the media, have fallen apart in the face of mounting evidence that the strikes were carefully targeted. In an interview with Reuters, restaurateur José Andrés, the founder of World Central Kitchen, said the workers were targeted, quote, systematically, car by car, end quote. Andrés rejected the claims by the U.S. and Israel that the strikes were unintentional, saying, quote, categorically, no, end quote. The purpose of this attack, as explained by Francesca Albanese, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Occupied Palestinian Territories, was to make it, quote, so that donors would pull out and civilians in Gaza could continue to be starved quietly, end quote. Doctors Without Borders declared in a statement, quote, we do not accept the narrative of regrettable incidents. We do not accept it because what has happened to World Central Kitchen and MSF convoys and shelters is part of the same pattern of deliberate attacks on humanitarians, health workers, journalists, UN personnel, schools, and homes, end quote. These attacks are only the latest in a series of Israeli murders of aid workers, with nearly 200 killed so far. Additionally, Israel has systematically attacked starving people as they attempt to receive food at food distribution centers in a series of flour massacres. After 6 months of Israeli blockade, the entire population of Gaza faces hunger, and the UN and World Bank have warned that famine is imminent. Dozens of children have already died from malnutrition, and humanitarian organizations have warned that deaths from famine will soon eclipse the number killed by bombs. The response of the Biden administration to the murder of the aid workers was to defend Israel, deny the murders are a violation of international law, and reject any international investigation into the massacre. Asked Wednesday whether there were, quote, any changes to the president's policy toward Israel and Gaza as a result of yesterday's strike, end quote, White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre declared, quote, nothing has changed, end quote. In an earlier statement the same day, White House National Security spokesman John Kirby asserted, quote, we make no bones about the fact that Israel is going to continue to have American support for the fight that they're in to eliminate the threat from Hamas, end quote. On Thursday, Biden held a half-hour conversation with Netanyahu devoted to dealing with the diplomatic fallout from the massacre. The public readout of the call reported that Biden, quote, made clear the need for Israel to announce and implement a series of specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, suffering, and the safety of aid workers, end quote. These statements were immediately proclaimed as a major policy change by the U.S. media. But in a subsequent briefing, White House officials made it clear again that nothing had changed. John Kirby said Biden, quote, made it very clear to the Prime Minister that the U.S.'s support for Israel's ability to defend itself from a range of threats, not just Hamas, remains ironclad, end quote. Karine Jean-Pierre said when asked if the call was an ultimatum, quote, no, end quote. In other words, Biden's demands were intended to cover up the U.S. policy of funding, arming, and defending the Israeli genocide in Gaza and ensuring that there is no accountability for the military leaders and civilian policymakers responsible for the murder of the aid workers. The U.S. supports the criminal actions of the Netanyahu regime because the Gaza genocide is part of a systematic U.S.-Israeli military campaign throughout the Middle East aimed at dismantling all resistance to imperialist domination of the region. Since October 7th, the U.S. has provided over 100 separate arms shipments to Israel, all sized to fall below the threshold necessary for congressional authorization and approval. Last week, The U.S. responded to Israel's massacre of over 400 people at Al-Shifa Hospital by sending another batch of 1,800 2,000-pound bombs to Israel. On Monday, the day Israel massacred the World Central KitchenAid workers, the Biden administration approved the transfer of thousands more bombs. The Gaza genocide, now 6 months old, marks a major milestone in the criminalization of imperialist foreign policy, in which systematic mass murder, starvation, and genocide are being normalized as routinely used methods. The same week as Israel murdered the World Central Kitchen aid workers, a group of Israeli and Palestinian journalists revealed the existence of Lavender, an artificial intelligence system used by the Israel Defense Forces to select targets for bombings that have led to the deaths of thousands of people since October 7th. The system has been used to mark thousands of Gazans as targets for extrajudicial murders. It detects when the targeted victims are at home with their families, then generates orders for the Israeli Air Force to bomb them, their families, and bystanders in the process. Each strike can permissibly kill up to 20 bystanders for every one individual targeted, and in some cases, the killing of up to 100 bystanders is authorized for a selected target. For a half a century, actions by the State of Israel have been used by Washington as a precedent for U.S. policy. The most significant example is the doctrine of targeted killings or state-organized assassinations, which was developed by Israel before being adopted by the U.S., including against its own citizens. What Israel is doing against the population of Gaza today, its imperialist backers will do in the near future. The actions of the Zionist regime in the current genocide will be used to set a precedent for the use of high-tech weapons, including artificial intelligence, to commit war crimes on a massive scale, coupled with mass starvation against rebellious urban populations. The eruption of war, genocide, and political repression are not an aberration. Imperialism, as Lenin noted, is not merely a policy, but rather a specific historical stage of capitalist development. Opposition to imperialism is, therefore, a revolutionary question aimed not at pressuring a government, but at replacing capitalism with socialism. All efforts to oppose the Gaza genocide by appealing to the United Nations, the International Court of Justice, and individual capitalist governments have failed. It is not a matter of appealing to the capitalist governments responsible for these crimes to change course, but rather turning to the working class, fusing the struggle against war with the developing struggles of workers all over the world against inequality and exploitation. France rejects Russian offer of Ukraine peace talks, by Alex Lantier. On Wednesday, the Russian and French defense ministers, Sergei Shoigu and Sébastien Lecornu, respectively, spoke via phone, with Shoigu offering talks to end the war in Ukraine and criticizing French plans to send troops to that country. Shoigu also pressed Lecornu about possible French involvement in the March 22nd terrorist attack at Crocus City Hall in Moscow. While French and Russian sources gave sharply conflicting accounts of the call, French officials unambiguously rejected Russia's offer of peace talks. Backed by its NATO allies, Paris is pressing on with plans to send troops to Ukraine that can only lead to war between nuclear-armed states. According to the Russian Defense Ministry statement on the phone call, quote, there was a noticeable willingness to dialogue over Ukraine. The starting point could be the Istanbul Initiative for Peace, end quote. There were conflicting reports on which initiative Shoigu meant. Russian sources referred to a proposal for peace talks by Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan made last month, as Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky visited Turkey. French sources raised the peace deal between Russian and Ukrainian negotiators in Turkey in April 2022, a deal that then-British Prime Minister Boris Johnson forced Ukrainian officials to abandon. Shoigu also warned Lecornu, according to Russian accounts, that if Paris sent troops to Ukraine, quote, this would create problems for France itself, end quote. About the Crocus City Hall attack, Shoigu told Lecornu that Russian investigators have proof of Ukrainian involvement and said, quote, the Kiev regime does nothing without the approval of its Western supervisors. We hope that in this case the French special services were not behind this, end quote. French officials immediately denied any interest in Ukraine peace talks. Shoigu was, quote, ready to resume dialogue over Ukraine, end quote, French defense officials told the AFP, but, quote, France neither accepted nor proposed anything, end quote, on Ukraine. Even though it was discussing a phone call it had just placed to Russia's defense minister, the French defense ministry baldly told Le Monde, quote, "This call must not be seen as an attempt to reopen a channel for communication with the Russians," end quote. Nevertheless, the call had been initiated at France's urgent request, according to Russian and French reports. Le Monde reported, quote, "Conscious of the disturbances the phone call could cause, the French Defense Ministry warned several of its European counterparts and contacted them after the call was over, in particular to avoid Russian attempts at manipulation," end quote. French defense officials said, quote, "The struggle against terrorism is a priority of the government. It has nothing to do with Ukraine," end quote. They pointed to the horrific attack in Moscow by ethnic Tajiks reportedly loyal to the Islamic State Khorasan, or ISK, that claimed 144 lives and left 551 wounded. Le Cornu, quote, recalled that France has opened a stepped-up exchange, end quote, with Russia on anti-terrorism operations and told Shoigu that, quote, "France has no information allowing to link this attack to Ukraine," end quote. They also said that Le Cornu demanded that Moscow, quote, "cease all attempts to exploit," end quote, the Crocus City attack. The Russian Defense Ministry communique confirmed that Le Cornu was concerned about political fallout from the Crocus City attack. Le Cornu said, quote, "constantly argued that Ukraine and the Western countries were not implicated in the terrorist attack, placing responsibility for the attack on ISIS," end quote. ISIS, that is the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, is an earlier name for the Islamic State group. The Shoigu-Le Cornu call must be taken as a warning of the imminent danger of escalation of the NATO-Russia war in Ukraine. This danger comes not mainly from the post-Soviet capitalist regime of Russian President Vladimir Putin, but from France and its NATO allies. France's rejection of Shoigu's offer of peace talks refutes propaganda presenting Russia as a threat to all of Europe and shows that NATO, not Moscow, is driving the war. The French government is preparing war with Russia behind the backs of the people based on lies and distortions. No one in Paris has revealed what Le Cornu said on Ukraine. But it is hard to believe that Le Cornu called Shoigu, who exercises leadership over Russia's war in Ukraine, and so potentially of operations to destroy the French army should it deploy there, just to discuss intelligence sharing for police work against terrorists. Based only on French statements, however, it seems the main message Paris is sending to Putin is that discussion of the Moscow terror attack is unacceptable. France openly armed Islamist militias during wars that NATO launched in 2011 in Libya and Syria. However, French officials and media downplayed these links after Islamist terrorists carried out two bloody attacks in Paris in 2015. Macron's predecessor as president, François Hollande, imposed a two-year state of emergency that suspended basic democratic rights, strengthened Islamophobic neo-fascist forces, and led to a vast buildup of police powers now used to assault and imprison workers engaged in strikes or protests. Yesterday, Macron, Hollande, and other French officials denounced Shoigu for suggesting a possible French link to the Moscow attack. Hollande went on France Interpublic Radio to call for a break in relations with Russia. He said, quote, "You saw how Russia exploits such discussions and even suggests that France could have supported the Moscow attacks. My recommendation is no contact with Russia," end quote. Macron attacked Shoigu's remarks as bizarre and threatening at a poolside press conference for this summer's Olympic Games, claiming without any evidence that Russia could target the 2024 Olympics. Macron said of the Moscow attack, quote, "It is ridiculous to say that France, that Ukraine, could be behind it. But it's manipulation of information and part of the arsenal of war as Russia uses it today," end quote. In reality, U.S. officials' own statements raised the question of potential NATO involvement in the Moscow attack. They immediately claimed, without any investigation, that Ukraine was not involved, but blamed ISK. But ISK recruited many soldiers and spies of the pro-NATO Afghan regime that fought the Taliban and who went underground when the Taliban took Kabul in 2021. French Secret Services, which participated in the NATO occupation of Afghanistan, has extensive contacts among such forces. Even before the Kremlin had made any concrete allegation linking France to the Crocus City Hall attack, Hollande and Macron are trying to preempt political fallout from revelations about their links to Ukraine and Islamist groups. They are doubling down on plans to attack Russia, even if this means risking nuclear war. This exposes the bankruptcy of the Russian capitalist regime's attempt to use its current battlefield superiority in Ukraine to negotiate a deal with the NATO imperialist powers, which it routinely calls its Western partners. Timofey Bordachev, a an official of the Valdai Club, where Putin meets international financiers and politicians for discussions, laid out this perspective. For the pro-Kremlin news site, Vzglyad, he applauded Shoigu's call with Lacornu, saying, quote, "In this context, it is important that Russia fully demonstrated its willingness to engage in constructive dialogue, even with countries that have recently caused a scandal with their statements," end quote. The failure of Shoigu's peace feelers shows that there is no constructive dialogue with imperialism, which seeks not dialogue but war and world hegemony. The Putin regime, employing a modified version of the bankrupt conception of, quote, "peaceful coexistence with imperialism," end quote, of the Stalinist regime that dissolved the Soviet Union in 1991, is at an impasse. Its battlefield successes against the NATO-backed Ukrainian regime only bring it closer to an overt war with the NATO alliance. The only way to halt the war is to mobilize the mass opposition and the working class. Polls show that 68% of Frenchmen, 80% of Germans, and 90% of Poles oppose sending troops to Ukraine. This sentiment must be mobilized by building an international socialist anti-war movement in the working class, in the NATO countries, and in Russia and Ukraine. You can find these articles and more at wsws.org. The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.